Amen. And if Jesus Christ has risen from the tomb, amen. I appreciate the songs. Appreciate all the music this morning. The blessing it is to be in a church where the music honor and glorify God. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you would, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and looking here at a couple of verses and then giving a little bit of a Bible lesson in the Old Testament as well. And it's good to have so many visitors with us this morning. Welcome to Heritage Baptist Church, and I do see some faces from yesterday, and we did have a good time. And in fact, I had a real good time. I forgot to put a hat on. So when I was combing my hair this morning, it hurt real bad. I see, I'm still in denial about going bald. You know, every time I go get my hair cut, and the lady says, she grabs the mirror to go look at the back of your head, you know, and I said, nope, stop. I don't care how it looks in the back. So anyway, got the good bald head this morning, good red head. Maybe anyway. All right. Romans chapter 5. Look with me. Let's start reading in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For under the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not, look at verse 15 closely now, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. As not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace, through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I enjoy hearing the kids scream up there. Amen. I know it's hard. We got a good crowd here this morning. We'll have some distractions from the kids. But I hope this morning you do your very best to concentrate, to focus. I'm the worst at that. And I just pray that you would do that. Ready? Lord, we do thank you today for your love. And we thank you today, Lord, for your love toward us and dying on the cross for us. And God, we just ask that today your Spirit would be made evident. God, that your Word would have free reign and free course in the hearts of those who are here. We pray that ears would be opened, that hearts would be open, and we know that your Word would not return void. Lord, we pray that you would help us to see the second Adam. We ask this in your name. Amen. As we think about these verses, and I know some of you, maybe your head's swimming a little bit as to what these verses mean. We know from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1 that God created the heavens and the earth. And by the way, God doesn't have to prove anything. It is what it says it is. God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm glad today that I believe in the Bible from cover to cover. I don't believe the first 11 chapters are allegory in any shape, form, or fashion. I believe they're the absolute truth. And therefore, God created all things. And God created man. In the image of God, He made man. And God formed him out of the dust of the ground. And he became a living soul. Unlike the animals, which He made in multiples, many kind, God made one man. And there's a reason for that. I won't go into that all this morning, but in that through one man, all men die. Through the second man, Adam, all men live. And there's an importance to that. One man was created. And that one man was set, and his wife were set in the Garden of Eden. A beautiful, pristine garden, a perfect garden. And there, God gave them this garden to keep and to groom. But we know that sin came, that the serpent came and tempted Eve, and that Eve took of the fruit. And we don't know what kind of fruit it was, but we know she took of a fruit. She took of that tree or of that vine and took of the fruit and gave to her husband. And the Bible says her husband took of the fruit also. We know that Eve was deceived in taking the fruit, but Adam took of the fruit willingly. Took of the fruit willingly. Immediately, when Adam ate of the fruit, his eyes were open and they realized they both were naked. There Adam fell in the Garden of Eden. You say, well, why did God put the tree in the middle of the garden anyway and say, hey, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Why would he even do that? Why not just leave it outside the garden and then you'd never have to mess with it and even Adam would have never been tempted? Let me just say this morning that the tree was put there to show God's ownership and to practically demonstrate man's will. That God did not make us as robots. God did not make us as robots. Those angels that sit around the throne of God and cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, are not there. They're not robots saying that. They're seeing God's glory and they're crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You've come this morning and God has given you a free will. You chose to be here this morning to participate in this Easter service. And I'm glad I have a free will, that I am not a robot. And therefore, God established and demonstrated for us the free will of man, that man chose to sin, that man chose to take of the fruit. Man saw the fruit, he willingly took of the fruit, he exercised his will, listen to this, against God's will. Man exercised his will against God's will. That's what the Bible is saying here. Romans 5:19, we just read, says, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So by the disobedience of one man, that's Adam in the Garden of Eden, of taking the fruit willingly, so many were made sinners. Sinners simply means lawbreakers. It simply means selfish by nature. So by the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, are many made righteous. That means right living, are living right, doing right. I love this. So, punishment, or death, came upon all men because of our great-great-grandfather Adam. Correct? So Adam was created. Adam sinned, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So because of Adam's willful disobedience to God, because he chose to willfully disobey God and take of that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because of that willful determination in his heart to take of that fruit, he took of it willfully, because of that sin, that fall, that death has passed upon every man. You see why now God created one man. If he had created multiple mans, maybe there would have been other men who didn't fall, right? But one man fell, and through that bloodline, through that future generations, we are all born sinners. Very clear. Through Adam's fall. You say, well, that's not very fair. Oh, it would have happened sometime. I don't have time to go into the whole thing, but you know what? There's even greater glory, greater promises. There's greater blessings in having Adam fall than if Adam hadn't fallen. And that's a whole different message. Adam fell in the Garden of Eden. And therefore God rendered punishment upon Adam and upon the serpent, upon the man. You can read that there in chapter 3. The serpent was made to crawl on his belly and eat the dust of the ground. But there was a great promise that was given there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Talking to the serpent now. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What great promise was given here to Adam and Eve and to the serpent? What great promise was given? That one day, Satan's head would be bruised, but he would bruise the heel of the one who would be the remedy of their fallen state, which is Jesus Christ. And was not his bruised? Was not his heel bruised on the cross of Calvary? So all the way from the very beginning, we have a promise of Christ coming. All the way from the very beginning, Adam fell, Adam willfully sinned, and yet God gave a promise that one day there would be a remedy to the fallen condition of Adam. One day there would be a solution that would come to the fallen man and the problem that we have in that. So there was a punishment dealt out to the woman. She would have sorrow in childbirth and also multiple conception. That the man would have to work for his food, that he would sweat. I think about that all the time, don't you? Out there sweating. Step on a sticker. Before the fall, there had been no stickers. Yoo-hoo! We got stickers because Adam. So these are the things, and of course we know death passed upon a man. Before the fall, man could eat of the tree of life and would live forever. We know that that was done away with because of the fall of Adam. I want to give you one more thing in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to go back to Romans. In Genesis 3, after man fell, after punishment was dealt out by God, God made a sacrifice. It says, and unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. So not only do we have the promise of the Messiah who would come and remedy man's fallen condition, but God also gave them a picture of such by way of the lamb that he sacrificed in order to clothe Adam and Eve, in order to clothe them. Oh, they tried to sew fig leaves together and cover themselves up, but can I tell you again a picture here of that salvation is by grace through faith, that you can't cover your own sins, that sins are only covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He is the one who came and remedied the man's fallen condition. So, in our introduction this morning, by the way, when the Bible talks about man, it means mankind. All mankind's problems, emotionally, relationally, physically, spiritually, all stem back to our Father's failure in the Garden of Eden. All of them. All of your marital problems. All of your emotional problems, such as worry and those things. All of those things. All your relational problems when it comes to friendships and all of these things. All your spiritual problems. All of these things stem back to the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden. But all our hopes, salvation, all our hope in marriage and all of these things are found in the last Adam, Jesus Christ. By way of what? By way of His perfect life, His death on the cross of Calvary, and His resurrection. That is the gospel. Can I tell you this morning, the remedy to all of social ills, the remedy to all emotional ills, the remedy to all relational ills, the remedy to all spiritual ills is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's found at Calvary, as the choir sang this morning. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ by believing and trusting in Him as your only Savior, as your personal Savior, by developing a relationship with Him. All hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus Christ is our hope. And I could finish the message with that. Jesus Christ is the hope. All the problems that were created, all the problems that stem from Adam's fall, all the hope of the remedy for those problems are found in Jesus Christ. Look back with me in Romans chapter 5, and let's look closely at verse 15. Verse 15 says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one man, for through the offense of one, many be dead." That's talking about Adam. Adam's fall. "Much more the grace of God, the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." Through Jesus Christ. I want to point out again this particular passage. In fact, the whole paragraph here speaks of salvation being a gift of God. It says, "We are ruined by the fall of Adam, but we are saved by the free gift found in Jesus Christ." Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast." Salvation is not found in works. Salvation is not found in being a good person. Salvation is not found in being a good dad or a good mom. Salvation are the remedy to the fallen state of our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, the problem that he caused for the human race. That remedy is found in Jesus Christ by grace through faith, and not of yourself, the Bible says, lest any man should boast. Salvation is not found in church membership. Salvation is not found in baptismal waters. Salvation is found in believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. Believing and transferring your trust from all other sources of salvation unto Christ and Christ alone. His perfect life, His sacrificial death on Calvary, His blood that was shed, and then His resurrection on the third day. I'm glad to tell you today that up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. He arose of a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah. Christ arose, and He arose. He resurrected for the dead to certify that He had paid for our sins in full. That He had remedied the fallen estate of Adam. That He had remedied my sinful nature. That He had given me salvation. The salvation is found by and is had by grace. That word grace simply means God's unmerited favor. It means unearned. Salvation is found through the grace and mercy of God. Why would God save man? Go home and ponder that for a little while. That'll really get you. If man fell in the Garden of Eden, it was man's fault that he chose his will against God's will. Why would God save mankind? Why? Because of His love. Well, preacher, that's way too simple. There's got to be more to it than that. No, He loves you. He loves me. Why did God save mankind? Because of His nature. The nature of selflessness. His character. It is who He is. He is a God of mercy and the God of grace. It's the nature of God, His selfless nature. The Bible says, "For He is good, and His mercy endureth forever." I love that verse because it goes with our theme. He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. You see, God is good. He's good all the time. He is going to do what's right in every situation because He's God. He can't sin. Amen? And therefore, He loves us. He sent His Son to die on the cross for us, that He might save us from the penalty of sin that came by way of Adam. His mercy endureth forever. I love this verse. It says, "For if the offense," it says there, "but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God," God's unmerited favor, "and the gift by grace," the gift of salvation, "but the free gift," the gift by grace, "which is by one man, Jesus Christ." You see, that gift, that free gift, comes by one man. We live today in a pluralistic society. We live in today a society which believes that all roads lead to heaven. But can I tell you, the Bible says, and Jesus said Himself,
in John 14, verse 6. These are Jesus Christ's words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He did not say He was the best way. He did not say He was part of the way. He said emphatically, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. He is the only way. He is the gift. By the way, a gift is not a gift if it can be taken away. A gift is not a gift if it can be earned. And you'll notice throughout this entire paragraph, when we read it a while ago, it used the word gift several times. Salvation is a gift. I've told this story before, but when I was a kid, we had an aunt one year that got really upset because she arrived at the Christmas family gathering and there were no gifts for her kids. Well, number one, nobody knew she was coming. That was the main thing. But she had brought gifts for us. And she was so offended that there was no gifts for her kids. See, giving a gift and giving in love is giving without expecting anything in return. If you're giving a gift expecting something in return, it's not a gift. Right? If I give you 20, give me 10 back. No, it's not a gift. That's a losing situation. It's not a gift. And the gift of God is eternal life. If I give you a quarter and I take it back, it's not a gift. I'm glad today that salvation is a gift. It's not earned. It's given to us by grace through faith and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. What a wonderful, 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 wonderful truth. See, mankind has a hard time with that concept. Let me even say it better than that. Mankind has a hard time with that biblical truth. What biblical truth, preacher? That salvation is by grace and grace alone. That you can't earn it. Because everything we do in life, we work to earn a wage, right? We go out, we work in the gardens, or we do whatever we have to do to earn something or to present or to produce a product. So it's very hard in our little finite minds to understand that Jesus Christ made it clear here, that Paul the Apostle made it very clear here, that salvation is a gift. Everybody wants to do something to get it. They'll say, preacher, that's way too simple. Well, I'm glad He made it that simple. I'm glad I don't have to be a theologian to understand the gospel. Salvation is a gift. One man got us in the mess, and one man gets us out. One man's ministry, the ministry of Jesus Christ, His works, His perfect life for 33 and a half years, His death. Those old Roman soldiers, the Bible says that no man took my life, He said, but I laid it down, and Jesus Christ laid Himself down on that cross. They did not have to struggle with Jesus to put Him on the cross, like they did the other two men. They did not have to round Him up and hold Him down. But He laid Himself down on that cross. He allowed those Roman soldiers to take those spikes and nail them into His hands and into His feet. They allowed the Roman soldiers to lift that cross up and to let it fall into that hole, taking all of His bones and His joints out. You think about that for a moment. He allowed them to pluck His beard out. They allowed Him to put that crown of thorns on His head. He laid Himself down for us. He said, how do you know He allowed it? Because He was God. He could have called 10,000 angels. But He didn't. Why? He loves us. And the only remedy, the only solution, the only way to escape the penalty that was dealt out in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve, the only way to escape that is by way of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 says, He looked, He saw His seed, He prolonged His days.
In other words, as he was there on that cross and as he was being crucified, he looked down through time. He saw Eric Crawford kneeling in his pastor's office at the age of 6 years old and asking Jesus Christ to save him. He saw an 8-year-old boy, a 6-year-old boy. He saw that 21-year-old boy. He saw that 32-year-old alcoholic who knelt the knee and asked Jesus Christ to save him. See, he saw you that day on the cross of Calvary. He saw me that day on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says he stayed there because of you and me. He stayed on that cross for us. Why? Because he loved us. And because he loves us today. Thank God for the cross of Calvary. Thank God for sending his Son to die on the cross for us. And thank God for the free gift of salvation. One man lost it all in the Garden of Eden. One man lost it all. Eternal life. One man lost it all. Health. I think about the skinny problem I have. All that wouldn't have been an issue had Adam not failed. I think about the things we lost in Adam. The sorrow now that's been passed upon mankind. All these things that were passed on when we lost that first estate in Adam. When we lost that Garden of Eden in Adam. There's so much. You see, now we come into the world with a sinful nature. That means a bias towards selfishness. You don't have to teach a child how to be selfish. You don't have to teach a child to take a toy from another kid. You have to teach him not to do that, right? See, before the fall of Adam, that would not have been the case. Man had no sinful nature as such. Had a free will, but not a bias towards sin. We are born in this world with a bias towards sin. A tendency to sin. A tendency towards wrongdoing. A tendency, a bias towards selfishness. All of us still deal with it, whether saved or lost. You see, no one can love everyone in the world as they love themselves all the time. The Bible says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So we come into this world with a sinful nature. We come into this world on a road to death. It's appointed that the man wants to die. All of us in this room, at one point or another, will pass that way. I'm glad that I will pass through the valley of the shadow of death. That I don't have to fear death because the Lord is with me. I know one day that I will come to that road. I will cross that river. That death's dark door will come to me. But I know in that day, when I cross over, I will be on the other side with the Lord Jesus Christ. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, I'm looking forward to the day that I see Jesus Christ, my Savior. We think about the fall every time we get out in our yard and have to deal with the briars and the thistles. Every time a child is born in this world and the pain that a woman feels in childbirth, that is the result of Adam's fall. Every time we see a snake slithering in the garden, I'm still looking forward to find out what the snake looked like before the fall. We'll know someday. My boys found a couple of snakes yesterday in the yard. So what'd you do with them? Well, one of them was a garter snake. Picked it up and played with it. What was the other one? Oh, it was about that long, Daddy. So you didn't pick that up, did you? No telling what that one might. No, we didn't pick it up. We scooped it up in a cup. Good boys. That's my boys. I said, go out and kill it. If you can't tell what it is, if it's not a bull snake or a garter snake or something that would be beneficial, and you can't tell what it is, it might be a water muskie. We have a pond in our place, so it needs to be killed. Kill it. And I hope they carried out the death sentence that I imposed upon that little snake. We think about every time we see that little snake slithering on the ground. That was the punishment of God. But as we think about
the things that were lost in Adam. As we think about the punishments that were dealt out because of Adam's sin, we think about the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross for us, who shed His blood on Calvary for us because He loved us, who gave to us eternal life. That last Adam, verse 19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Notice it doesn't say all shall be made righteous. It says many. Are you one of the many this morning? Has there been a time in your life when you have accepted Christ as your Savior? Is there a time in your life when you have accepted the remedy for the fallen estate? Is there a time in your life when you've been delivered from the penalty of sin? You see, Jesus Christ finished the work of salvation at Calvary. Jesus Christ, when He hung on that cross, He finished the work of salvation. Salvation from what, preacher? Salvation from the penalty of sin. Well, what is the penalty of sin? The Bible makes that clear. Revelation chapter 20 says, "And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire." This is the second death. There is a penalty of sin. There is a second death. Hell is, just as heaven's real, hell is also real. Listen, that penalty upon which God placed upon mankind is remedied. It's solved in the person of Jesus Christ by way of His life, His death, and His resurrection. And when we put our trust in Him, when we put our faith in Him, He forgives us of our sins. He removes that sinful record. He removes the sinful record. Therefore, because our sinful record is removed, listen, because the sinful record is erased, there's no punishment. The punishment is gone. And in its place, the righteousness of Christ has been put there. "He that believeth in Him hath everlasting life." We are not merely God's creatures, but God's sons. The benefit of placing your trust in Jesus Christ, number one, is everlasting life. Number two, Christian, is that we're no longer just creatures made by God, but we are sons of God, joint heirs with Him. Thirdly, that now at the right hand of the throne of God sits a man, the man, Christ Jesus, representing you and I. He is there. He is there making intercession for us. Fourthly, and I'm done, we've been raised to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. There's an old song that says, "I'm already over on the other side, waiting for my brand new body. Sitting up there in the heavenly fair on the right hand of the Father. My citizenship's in heaven, I'm living in Christ, you see. 'Cause I'm already over on the other side, waiting for my body to be." Listen, I'm already a citizen of heaven. As I put my faith and I trust in Jesus Christ, I'm a citizen of heaven. I believe and I know and understand that salvation is a gift from God. Have you put your faith and trust in Him? The gift of salvation is found in one man. One man's ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, by way of His work at Calvary, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first Adam got us in the mess. The second Adam gets us out, Jesus Christ. How? How does the second Adam get us out? By way of a sacrifice on Calvary. By way of a sacrifice on Calvary. By way of the blood that He shed on Calvary. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you partaken of that free gift of salvation? If not, just in a moment, we're going to have a verse of invitation. Give you an opportunity to step out of your chair and come forward, and someone here at the altar will show you from the Bible how you can partake of that free gift of salvation. Christian, this morning, it's Easter Sunday, the time we remember the crucifixion, the blood that was shed on Calvary, and His resurrection on the third day. I'm glad today I serve a risen Savior. And because He lives today, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives today, I'm no longer just a creature of God and just a creation of God. I am a daughter of God. I am a son of God. Joint heirs with Him. I've been adopted into the family of God. Not just human. I'm adopted into the family of God. I'm looking forward to day, one day of heaven is going to be my home. How about you this morning? Let's all stand. as the rain comes down.